morning, everybody. Welcome to the roundtable. Welcome to our panel discussion for this Monday morning. It's the 3rd of April. We got a new month.
Yay.
Since we last left you.
Yeah.
We had April Fool's Day, which...
That was exciting. Are we going to talk about that?
Yeah, we should talk about that.
Actually, I thought about it, media project.
It's a great media project question. But before we do that, I just want to mention a sad thing, and that is that the lion of the state legislature, the top lobbyist who has ever lived, Lester Schulklapper, has passed.
Oh, really?
And I love the man. I did. Oh. I didn't agree with him about one thing, but he would come to my classes and he would say, don't listen to him about anything. He's all wrong.
I remember. You brought him to our class.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah.
He was a banker. He was the banker or lobbyist.
Well, no, he was. But
he was
a real estate lobbyist.
Yeah.
That's what he represented everybody. At one point, he was representing everybody in Albany.
Wow.
And he was a very nice man.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
I loved him.
Wow.
Yeah, too bad.
Yeah.
Oh, and now you back to you, Rosemary. That was an interesting...
So Saturday, I get out of bed. I'm still rubbing the sleepers out of my eyes. Turn on my computer, and there's a note from Michael. Thank you. Hello, Michael. A WAMC listener who goes, I can't wait to see Rosemary's reaction to the news that Kellyanne Conway is going to be the commencement speaker at UAlbany. And I just like go, brah! You probably could have heard the screams down here. And I go... immediately send a note out to my colleagues in the journalism program. How do we protest this? What an insult. And I'm just like ranting and raving to my family. And then one of my colleagues writes back and says, Rosemary, today is April 1. Is there any relation?
It took me about a minute, but then I got it.
I got this really apologetic Facebook message from you. Oh, it's April Fool's. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I know. No, but what was really interesting is our very good friend, the wonderful Rex Smith, who was such a good friend.
Well, we neglected to say that the WAMC listeners heard about this through a blog on the Times Union.
Right.
Which was, actually, if you called it up and you checked the links, they're bogus. If I had been awake or in my right mind, I would have noticed that. But, you know, at first it looked like a real Times Union announcement that she was the speaker.
Well, it had the Times Union logo, didn't it?
It did.
And so Rex got upset about that.
Well, now,
he got really upset.
First of all, Alan Chartok, Rosemary.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
And Libby
Who are these
here.
People?
And it's the roundtable panel, and good morning. Okay, so.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No.
It's a runaway group again.
I'll get right in. But so I just want to quickly bring the train back on the track, and then we'll let it go off again. Alan and I were talking about this briefly in his office prior to the show, but I'm not a big fan of the journalistic April Fool's joke. How do you feel about that?
Always hated it, but in this age of fake news, it's particularly horrendous. It cannot happen.
Well, Rex canceled this guy's blog.
I know he did.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Well, it's a serious offense.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Whatever.
His password.
You know, there's credibility on all of this stuff.
Right. Well, because you still have the name of the Times Union newspaper
attached to fake news. The Washington Post did a compilation of journalistic April Fool's tricks, and this was included, sadly enough. We made the Washington Post, and there were a bunch of them from across the country. Yeah. And countless student newspapers have gotten into trouble for this sort of thing. They're not a good idea. Nothing fake should be in a newspaper, including, I don't even like using aliases, you know. So-and-so wishes name did not be called, we'll call him Daniel. No, don't do that. That's fiction.
So the other way of looking at this, and also in a discussion with our news director, Ian Pickus, of saying, okay, but can you have it both ways in the sense of that you give these people the blogs, you give them the name, you go unedited for a number of year after year after year, and then you suddenly get upset when they do something you don't like?
Well, I think that's a great question.
It is, because I used to have a blog up at the TU, and I never got in trouble editorially. But
because you're not edited,
or as we say over in the Berkshires, over to the TU.
Yes, but I never wrote anything that was, you know, in my perspective, wrong.
Fake.
Okay, but it is a joke. I mean, I started off by saying I don't like it, and it annoys me. I don't really like April Fool's Day
or
Halloween
really,
for another. That gets
really,
to another issue.
That's really the bottom line.
Right, but so you do it, and now do you have a rule that says don't do an April Fool's joke under the guise of journalism? Well, if you don't, then how do you enforce something you don't have a rule for?
Well, I don't want to put words into his mouth, but I don't think Rex loves a situation where he's got a lot of community bloggers. That's a service. I like reading the blogs, but they really do need a moderator.
Oh, absolutely.
He just can't afford it. I mean, Rex is being forced to let go of copy editors and reporters and editors, so someone to look over the community blogs is a luxury.
Don't they have somebody? I think they have somebody.
They do not.
Mike Huberman. He's left. Not retired. He left. And, you know, what the moderation, I mean, this is horrible and should never have been done. And it probably, you know, sent you into apoplexy and, you know,
oh my God.
Ruined your morning.
Yeah.
Ruined your morning. But from my perspective, the flip of this are the people who write back on these blogs.
Yeah, the commenters.
And how hateful.
They were ugly to you. I've read some. We've shared some of our commenters.
You know, they were incredible. Nobody ever would ever say anything like that to my face. And I stopped because it was so
ugly. Oh, is that
right?
You stopped?
Yeah. It was enough already. I mean, the homophobia was unbelievable.
Unchecked.
It was unchecked. And it was the cowardice of anonymity because these people didn't use their real name. I did, but they didn't.
Well, but clearly, Libby and Rosemary and Joe, I think one of the things that's at play here is the whole concept of unlimited bloggers or a lot of bloggers. You do that to extend yourself into the community. Newspapers have to find another way, in quotes, to get readership and the rest of it. And everything has unforeseen consequences to it.
It's true.
It's as in everything else, it's a shame that a few bad apples spoil it for the rest of them, because the idea of community blogs where a lot of people get a voice who would not ordinarily have it, that's a terrific idea. And people get to comment and talk back on it, except then you have these ugly commenters and bloggers who kind of just like go over the line a little bit. So
let's take a break. We'll be right back. We'll start in on the news of the day. And we'll continue our conversation. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support comes from Lenox Chamber of Commerce, a town for all seasons, featuring cultural attractions, recreation, specialty retailers, spas and salons, lodging, restaurants, and more. Lenox.org for information. Viva Fresh Pasta, 30 years and 30 wines by the glass, European cuisine infused with flavors of the world. Northampton, Massachusetts, grab life by the knife and fork. VivaFreshPasta.com. New York State AFL-CIO with 2.5 million members speaking with one voice, helping working families achieve a better life. NYSAFLCIO.org. And from Pastor Luis Perez, pastor, Rhinebeck Reformed Church, and author, Catharsis, Maldonado's Journey Through Grief. Available at Oblong Books, Rhinebeck, on Facebook.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel, and good Monday morning to you all. It's very nice to have you with us. So a lot of stories making news, and we'll start with the sad one out of St. Petersburg, Russia. Deadly explosions reported in St. Petersburg subway. The blast, which occurred while President Vladimir Putin of Russia was in the city, killed 10 people, according to the state-run TASS news agency reported. The story broke a little over an hour ago, maybe a little less than an hour ago, so information is still coming in drips and drabs, but explosions at two subway stations, and according to a spokesman for the St. Petersburg governor, that the explosions had killed about 10 people, wounded about 50 others. The subway system was shut down after the attacks, which occurred around 2:45. This is around the Technology Institute stations in the city center. Both stations are important transit hub, and are normally crowded with passengers, though the explosions occurred before the start of the evening rush hour. Mr. Putin, in a televised statement less than an hour after the explosion, said he had spoken with the heads of special services, including the FSB, as well as law enforcement officials, who he said will do everything to find out the causes of what has happened. We do know, and Rosemary, you can probably speak best to this, that Russia has been... Well, they certainly have been concerned about terrorist attacks in their country as well.
Yes, absolutely. And there haven't been very many in Russia at all.
I wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems to me, Rosemary, that Vladimir Putin's political enemies tend to get killed.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. do.
Are you following
they
me? Do. Following mm-hmm. my reasoning here?
Mm-hmm.
In this country, if we drop a bomb, because these people know how to shelter themselves, the ISIS guys and everybody else, in civilian populations, we have to have investigations. We should, and we apologize. But
not over there.
Not with Putin.
Well, you know, my conspiracy theorist side is thinking Putin has had a number of anti-Putin demonstrations in the past month. He does not like those. And so now we have, a terrorist threat?
Yeah, I was wondering,
that's interesting.
Too. I was
that
wondering
is,
if
could that be
a
clampdown?
Yeah.
You know, that's a possibility, but on the other
too
hand...
too soon to tell. I don't want to spread stuff. That's not fake news. It's pure speculation.
It is. I don't think this is good for him. I don't think if people are getting blown up... I mean, the one mm-hmm. thing they like about a Putin or a hardliner or a Stalin or one
strong
of these guys...
Man.
Yeah, is the strong man who's going to protect them. And I think this means that he is losing mm-hmm. that...
If this was ISIS-generated, if it was an Islamic terrorist attack, absolutely, because he's supposed to be the strong man and keeping all those people out.
What my point being is that I suspect there's going to be huge recompense mm-hmm. By Putin for this, not necessarily in his country, but I think on the ISIS.
It could be
front.
Well, but it could also be domestic terrorists. It could be Ukraine. It could be Chechens. It could be anybody who's really unhappy.
The timing, though, is just so suspicious.
Sure.
Libby, we've got the president of Egypt is in Washington today talking about anti-ISIS measures. Putin and Trump are known to be talking about this through Tillotson. And now we have a provocation in Russia. Wow, won't people be all mm-hmm. geared up for going after ISIS, which means... I don't know, full-scale invasion, boots on the ground in Syria. It's
all true. Everything's possible.
Everything's
on the table. And you made a whole bunch of good points there, Libby. And who else could be doing it this way?
Yeah, there's lots of things going on.
If you're not allowed to protest on the street without getting arrested, then the question is, what's the escalation?
That's right.
Meanwhile, on a diplomatic front, Jared Kushner has traveled to Iraq.
Oh, thank God. That'll take care of the problem.
In further
Middle
expansion
East.
Of his role as a shadow diplomat.
Well, he's getting invited everywhere now.
Yeah. Well, China. You know, when you have all that money and those business interests.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Yeah. It probably has nothing to do with the son-in-law.
No, it
thing.
Doesn't. No. It has to do with money and
the
business.
The hero of the President of the United States of America.
Prince Jared. Yeah. It's awful.
Well, the Chinese, that he's like a prince... Princeship or prince in waiting or something. I was like, wow, you know, it's bizarre. But he Trump's letting people who have no idea what they're doing go on these trips and make decisions.
Now
let's
remember that this is the same Trump who was so admiring during the entire campaign of Russia.
Right.
And kept saying so over and over and over again. Why? Probably because he likes the model. And I think, frankly, that's where we were going in the beginning. I think it turns out that he couldn't get away with it, or he didn't have the stomach for doing, you know, the whole thing. But in any case, I think we were going towards a fascist model. I do.
But I don't think he could get away with it. I think the people would not.
Well, it turns out that that's right. And as each digit disappears off that 37%, 36%, whatever it is, he has less stomach for mm-hmm. this. But apparently doesn't care that much. You know, we have this guy named Jeffrey Reel who writes to us a lot. And he's terrific. He wrote a letter. he read a letter to the paper. I can only paraphrase it because I don't have it in front of me, to the Berkshire Eagle this weekend, in which he said, look, okay, Trump, you did the whole thing as a lark. You didn't think you were going to win. You did win. I mean, it was exactly the right touch that he had there. He said, so now, nobody likes you. Nobody likes you. Go away. It's time to quit.
This is hard. Yeah. I mean, being president is hard, and he doesn't like hard things. He likes things where he can say, do this, do that, build a building, and it gets done. Yeah. You can't run government like that. So when people say, let's run government by like a business, it's impossible.
And the Times, of course, have been doing a terrific job of going into each of the affected states that voted for Trump and finding the programs that Trump is going to wreck people who have a little help with their housing so that they can live in a house.
Ohio.
Or places like that are being decimated, and they are still saying, yeah, it's too bad. We really need this help, but we don't. But we stand behind Trump.
35%.
Some are.
Still the view was that the real politicians, the experienced people who knew what they were doing, didn't help us. So we'll just stick with this.
Right.
It's very sad.
Yes, but he's going to have 30% base regardless, and it's gone down.
It was 42.
42, now 37, 36. He's going to get down to 30, between 30 and 35. He's going to be incredibly weak. All this Russia stuff is going to continue to dog him. And the Republican Party will be damaged by this, and they will eventually
open
the door
for
getting him out.
Liberal, devoted Democrat. Well, and I hope you're right, but I don't see it. He's going to get a bump this week. Gorsuch is going to get in. He's saying, oh, I don't regret anything. Look at the great guy I gave you. You're going to see a bump in it. We have a fickle, uneducated public, and they are supportive of this, a strong man.
I get that, but it's not the majority. It is not. Look, it's
that
not.
Didn't
the majority.
Help us to get our woman in.
Yeah, I get that.
All right. So when we get back, we'll get into the very exciting discussion of financial disclosures.
Yeah, right.
We'll do that right after this.
Chuck today, Chuck. During the break, we're all doing exercising business over phone.
It's all right. It's all good. It's all good. I have your attention now. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. It is a delight to have you all here. And I just mean our panelists. And, of course, the audience.
And we're happy to have you here,
well,
Joe.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We've
very
been
nice
told
to
you were
you.
Here, and so we came.
Yes. Well, thank you.
You're
very
welcome.
Much. It's good to have you in the studio.
Who, me?
Yeah. I know you were here Thursday, and then your ankle still hurts.
Oh boy, it still hurts. The next picture is going to be definitive. We'll get 10 comments right now, at least two meanies, who will say we don't want to know about your leg, Alan. But they're going to take another picture, and if there's some healing, that would be good.
That would be. Yes, that would be good.
It
that would be
good. Helpful. It heals.
Always good. All right. Well, let's go on to other subjects. I mentioned during the break before we went to the break, that we would talk about financial disclosures. This was the big data dump that came on Friday, I believe.
Of course, Friday. That's always the day you do it.
Friday afternoon. And
it's called taking out the trash.
That's right. So we knew this was coming, but... Here we go. Who's worth what at the White House? The financial disclosures. The disclosures included the complicated assets of Ivanka and Jared Kushner, President Trump's daughter and son-in-law, who retained vast business holdings. I believe $750 million was the total.
That's unbelievable.
Sounds low to me. It does, because they own 666 Fifth Avenue, the Kushners.
But that's the family.
Right.
So
but it's
that's
not
Jared's
all in the kid's name.
Share, right. That's Jared's. He's got like two or three floors, and they split it up.
Well, yeah. I remember it very well, that building.
Stephen Bannon, the president's senior advisor, made as much as $2.3 million last year. Gary Cohn, the director of the National Economic Council and the former number two executive of Goldman Sachs, has assets valued at $252 million to $611 million. And the other one was Tillerson, right? The other big one was
But he got rid of all
Rex
of his stuff.
He put all his in mutual funds.
Yeah, he put all of his stuff in mutual funds. But Bannon, I was surprised. Well, I shouldn't be, but...
Not a lot, right?
No, not as much.
I know a lot of professors who work their lifetime and retire on that amount of money, $2 million.
Anyone we know?
No.
Okay. Just thought I'd ask.
Yeah, thank you for asking.
That's hey, no good. Problem.
Okay, the main thing is, despite how rich they are, and many of the supporters think that's a good thing, they're rich, they're successful, so they're not open to outside influence. They're terribly open to outside influence. That's evidenced by the fact that Ivanka has not totally divested of everything, as she said that she would, nor has right. Jared. And that is a conflict of interest that ethicists on both sides, Republican and Democrat, have criticized them for. It's not
care?
Right. It's criminal.
But does anybody care?
I care. I'm going crazy over it.
Okay, so when I read your article in the Times, and they played it huge over the weekend, I said, what part of this don't we know?
It's true. It's true. And the thing is that people don't, I mean, the rank and file don't care about ethics because I think part of it is they'd like to have something
exactly
be that rich.
Exactly.
You know, and B, they're just trying to make sure that they get their bills paid. And so they're not so concerned about ethics, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
The happiest news to me was that the law firm with Sherry Dillon, she
right.
was the woman who spoke at Trump's original news conference saying, you know, oh, he's fine, no problem here. They are losing business. People are, the resistance is keeping business away from them because they're so disgusted by that.
Although I don't think Mar-a-Lago is losing business.
No,
but his other.
In fact, it's going to be filled with Chinese people.
Yeah,
this
some
weekend.
Of his other properties are losing business, and Ivanka is her brand, her lifestyle brand, is being dropped right and left. So, not that that's that important in the grand scheme of things.
Well, you won't be finding me buying anything with Ivanka.
Well, me
brand,
neither. But it's you know the real estate holdings and. That is, you know, what's interesting to me is with, and this sort of goes to the China trip.
Yeah.
China owns so much of our debt. And
it's true.
And Trump has said he loves debt. And so you just have to wonder how this is all going to work out, where here's a man who loves debt, thinks the United States should be in debt because he loves debt. And talking to the people who own most of our debt, where's the leverage? Where? How is he going to get anything done,
well,
especially since he doesn't know anything?
The answer to that, I think, is that the Chinese know the more unstable
that's right.
the United States gets,
the better it is for
no,
them.
No, the worse it is for them, because they have to have a stable trading partner, and if their money is invested in this country, and the value of our dollars or our investment, their investments goes down, it's not good for them. So therefore, I think the point about Trump is, you know, you make a good point, Libby, but I have no faith that anything he says at any given moment means anything.
because he
will reverse it
the
next day.
Nor do they have that faith.
Right.
Did you read about his interview with the Financial Times?
Yes.
Holy cow.
Tell us all about it.
Also pertaining to China, he told the Financial Times that he being our esteemed president, that if China isn't going to take care of North Korea, we will, unilaterally.
Yeah.
And then he refused to answer further questions to elaborate on exactly what that meant. How will we take care of getting rid of nuclear weapons in North Korea? Would, for example, we agree to a whole new arrangement of power on the peninsula, maybe taking out U.S. forces from South Korea? He refused to answer any of that. He just said, it's enough what I've already said. We'll take care of it.
You guys should see Rosemary's lips.
I'm using my Alec Baldwin lips.
Right. It's enough.
It's enough.
Okay,
it's
but enough. That is the scariest story of the day.
Mm-hmm. That was frightening.
Yeah,
I agree.
The thing in Russia is terrible. But what we're talking about here is the hint that the preemptive nuclear option might be used. And I don't mean in the United States Senate.
I mean the real
nuclear option.
I saw something today that said North Korea is ready to use the bomb on us.
Well, they've always said that.
You know, so, and this guy, I mean, you know, who's crazier? Donald Trump. Or the president of North Korea, or whatever they call him.
Oh my gosh.
The premier. Whatever his name is.
Yeah, the exalted leader.
The exalted leader. Who's crazier?
It's like a little face-off contest.
It is. There's
chicken.
Actually a Facebook graphic with Donald Trump's face and the Supreme Leader's head.
The reason this
Kim
is so...
The reason
that this is so scary, of course, is that North Korea has a neighbor. That's China.
That's right. Yeah.
And if we start lobbing stuff their way, you know what's going to happen. So this is the scariest thing we've seen since JFK in Cuba.
Yeah.
Mr. Trump has repeatedly vowed to stop the North's nuclear efforts, telling the Financial Times in an interview published on Sunday, as Rosemary said, "If China's not going to solve North Korea, we will. That is all I'm telling you."
And what does that mean?
Well, now the Chinese, interestingly, are saying this could... trying to unload the burden from themselves. There was one thing in the paper the other day about how they were not going to be buying coal from North Korea or selling coal to North Korea. I forget which. But the point really is that if the Chinese want to achieve the hegemony they want with their islands and Pacific and the rest of it, but the Chinese are saying, hey, you want to solve this, America? It's not on us. It's on you. You have to sit down with the North Koreans. You have to sit down with the North Koreans bilaterally and figure all of this out. The United States won't do that.
I mean, the article that the Times ran, that a lot of this information came out of this online ad for Lithium 6.
I don't know about this.
So a
new computer?
The online ad read something to the effect of they'll sell 22 pounds of highly pure Lithium 6 every month set for delivery from a port in China. It caught the attention of intelligence agencies around the world for a simple reason. Lithium-6 offers a fast way to turn an ordinary atom bomb into a hydrogen bomb, magnifying its destructive power by up to 1,000 times. The seller listed in the ad, who even provided his cell phone number, if you're going to make the sale, for God's sakes, was identified in a recent United Nations report as the third secretary in the North Korean embassy in Beijing.
Wow. Ah. And the doomsday clock is now 2 minutes before midnight.
All right, so
maybe it should be 1 minute after midnight.
I want to go. I want to go to a break. I want to come back and have Alan read letters. But I do. Before we do that, I just want to mention the all of this, of course, is very disturbing. The little fit that the president had on Friday during the signing of the executive orders. When he walked away without signing them. After
there's
major...
Mr. President, you forgot something.
It was...
He's a petulant little boy.
Did you hear Wilbur Ross, though, on TV the next day? He goes, he can sign it wherever he wants. I don't know why this is a big deal. If he annoyed a cameraman, too bad. Whoa.
They should start to understand, being so disrespectful to the press is not going to help them.
It isn't so far.
It hasn't helped them, and it is not going to help them.
All right. We'll come back. We have lots of letters, and we'll be right back after this.
Support comes from Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. TEC Land Surveying, providing surveying and mapping services for transportation, infrastructure, and development projects throughout the WAMC listening area. TECLS.com for more information. Northshire Bookstore, Manchester. Tickets now available for Booktopia Reader and Author Retreat, May 5th and 6th. Northshire.com for details. Lathrop Communities Independent Living in Northampton and Easthampton, Massachusetts, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition. Together, transforming the experience of aging. Lathrop.kendall.org. And from H. Houst & Son True Value, Woodstock. Since 1932, offering organic and heirloom vegetable, flower seeds, and seed starting supplies. True value behind every project is a true value. HHoust.com.
Coming up on this week's book show, Greg Iles' Natchez trilogy has been compared to Faulkner and Conroy, the greatest of Southern Gothic writers. The themes in the trilogy include race relations in the South, the legacy of a father, small-town relationships, and unattainable love. The culmination of the trilogy is Mississippi Blood, Greg Iles, on this week's book show.
Tuesday afternoons at 3, Thursday evenings at 8:30, and anytime via podcast or at WAMC.org. Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post on the program this morning. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your letters panel at WAMC.org. Not surprisingly, we have a lot of them, and Alan will
read some of them.
Read some of them right now.
Okay. Terry says, Rosemary, we have a, quote, we have a fickle and uneducated public, unquote. Fickle, sure, but uneducated? Poorly chosen words like that do nothing but reaffirm the feelings of the working class that elites in the media look down upon them.
I do. I do look down on them. People are not getting educated enough to make intelligent votes, and Donald Trump is the proof of it. And I am the elite. I am a butcher's daughter who went to college, which anyone in America could do, and I am educated when I vote. So, yeah. Okay? Sorry.
Well, you know, but that's interesting, Rosemary, that you
do
say
not,
that.
This do-nothing attitude and hate the educated in this country is bad. Anti-intellectualism. Dangerous.
I don't think going to college does make the difference, to be honest with you.
And no,
I have lifelong
thinking
college.
Makes the difference.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be higher education. It
no,
just has
look,
to be
my,
education of
my
the,
father
the issues, the
was,
votes. The...
was working class guy. He
right.
didn't, he didn't graduate high school, let alone
mine
college.
Neither. And he could read 5 newspapers a day
right.
and add
okay.
up any
informed.
Figure in
right.
his head.
And my father read the New York Times every day. He was well informed. He thought about these issues. He made decisions based on rational thought.
Okay,
so it's
good.
Not about being college educated. It's about wanting to know the facts, doing the work you need to do. It's about reading.
Well, not only that, but if you take a look at white college-educated women in this country, Trump got a lot of votes.
Well,
I
Tina
think
Fey
sure.
wrote a piece this weekend that's basically blaming them, which is true, for Trump's election.
Yeah. Yeah, she said
yeah,
they have to own it.
Yes,
they've got to own it.
White,
it's,
educated
it's insane.
Women.
It's just
college
insane.
Educated women
and then
now.
They get this.
Okay, so Bobby wrote, Dear panel, per Nate Silver's website, Trump has a 49% approval rating among registered voters compared to the middle 30s percentage among the overall American populace. Interesting. I'm against Trump, but I think we should be careful not to be too encouraged or complacent by this mid-30s approval polling results. Well, Bobby and Troy, I couldn't agree with you more. The guy's president of the United States. He got there somehow, and I think you have to understand how that happened. Jim says, I personally only know a few people who voted for Trump because they were enthusiastic about him or his message. They aren't quite ready to admit they were wrong yet. Most of the Trump voters I know were basically voting against Hillary Clinton. Parenthesis from Allen, who is now acting as if she wants to run another time. That's the end of my paren. The Gorsuch nomination appears certain to go through, but I don't think that is going to be enough to undo Trump's inevitable decline. That sounds reasonable to me, the idea that Gorsuch gets in, Rosemary's right, he gets a little bump, but then he does something else. Paul says, what is missing is a leader in capital letters. So those who voted for Trump still follow him because he said, what have you got to lose? A strong Democratic candidate can make a shift in this, but sadly I do not see Clinton doing it, and I supported her. And question if Sanders is the correct choice for our future. As much as I think the GOP needs a leader, so do I, and that's from Names, which says, or Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the interesting thing about that is that the party probably has to start looking for potential leaders. I myself have one. I've always had one, which is Chris Murphy from Connecticut, who we interview regularly on WAMC, and who is brilliant, just brilliant. Okay, and then we heard from James. I think Rosemary is right. To think that Trump's lack of support is going to impact his policies or make him lose the next election is the same old backwards thinking. Trump found the bug in the democratic system. You don't need pluralities as long as nobody votes. And polls don't mean anything for 4 years to Trump. And that's from James in Ulster County. And Brian says, if newspapers can attract unpaid writers, why don't they also attract unpaid community editors and comment moderators? We were talking before about
yes,
how they don't do that. However, I will say there is a growing thinking that people who work for profit-making institutions should take a look at what public radio does, for example, so that I see Woodstock, and Radio Woodstock is now collecting money, having fun drives. But it's a for-profit company. Interesting, isn't it?
They are, really.
Yeah. And that's fascinating. And we may be going to a point where, I don't see why not, where newspapers could be not-for-profit institutions and having people give them
community
money to cover the
and
news.
So forth. Yeah. Yeah.
And Susan says, did you catch NPR's piece on the Parisian restaurant pioneering recipes using dirt? Here comes my college French. Okay. Called it Terroir Veritas. One example was Consommé Île-de-France. It was hilarious. They really excel at this deadpan April Fools. Doesn't worry me, says Susan. Uh-huh.
Okay, but that's different.
No, it's different, Joe, but I've always thought maybe just loosen up a bit. Everybody just roll with it. Put your shoulders around it.
Yeah, but I guess that's what I'm saying is that is different from what they're doing on NPR. Of a Parisian restaurant serving dirt is different than something that is, to enrage you for a policy position.
Everything's different.
until it's not.
Professor Don says, shortly following the elections, Trump said, in theory, I could run my business perfectly and then run the country perfectly. One could simply attribute his comment to his inflated ego. However, it also reveals his failure to grasp the implications of governmental checks and balances. When his executive order on immigration was challenged in the courts, he seemed perplexed and annoyed that the order could be blocked by the judicial branch of government. Correct. And we heard from Bob, who said, NPR usually runs an April Fool's item on Morning Edition, all things considered. On Saturday, I looked at the Morning Edition stories on NPR's website. I really couldn't figure out which of the three stories, after eliminating the ones I figured were definitely real, was the April Fool's one, which shows how truly strange our word has become. And Bob from wherever, I know him very well, it says here, we heard from Professor Don, who thinks the story was... The dirt story. Right.
Yeah. All right. So we welcome your letters to panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org, and we will move on to other topics and news.
Just you and me.
Just
Joe.
You and me.
Because the others have a little bit of business going on in the corner.
Feel free to tell us to keep it down.
But they're doing very important work.
Let us know
here.
If we're getting in your way. You're good?
Yeah,
okay.
Everything's good. I'm good.
Rosemary's back. Libby's
back. Oh my gosh.
Back.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know if my son
in
Florida is buying his first home.
Right. And so you're a good mother.
I'm the good mother. I'm helping him with the down payment. But that entails not just having the money to give him, which was hard enough. I worked a year and a half for it. But I have to wire it to him, which requires so much paperwork. And it's all computerized. And, of course, every passcode and ID number is out of my head. So,
course,
this is coming right down now.
Sure. Can you remember
the
numbers?
On the radio.
Could you remember the numbers on the bottom of your checking account? Not me.
No.
No. And you want to keep them. There's that. Want to keep them all the same so it's universal.
But that's
the companies
very bad.
Don't let you. Well, they also won't let you do
that's
it.
Right.
So they because some of them want numbers and letters and up and down and all the different stuff. And it gets. Right.
So they force you to write it all out. And I know the whole thing about passkey and all that, but I end up writing them all out on a sheet of paper, which is the most insecure thing you can do.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you my secret, but I won't do it.
All right, not
okay.
now. I am utterly distracted today.
Okay.
This has taken my mind off Donald Trump, even.
All right, let's go to. I want to go to. The one story we didn't talk about when we were talking about financial disclosures is the fact that Michael Flynn failed to disclose the income from Russia-linked entities. So we found out a lot of financial information this week, but we did not find out about Michael Flynn, but the first form which he signed in February does not directly mention a paid speech he gave to Moscow, as well as other payments from companies linked to Russia. The second and amended version lists the names of the companies that made the payments under a section for any non-government compensation that exceeds $5,000 in a year. That list appears to include all of the work that Mr. Flynn, a retired three-star Army general, has done since leaving the military without providing compensation figures for any of it. No reason was given for the discrepancy between the two forms. Alan, could you think of a reason for that discrepancy?
Yes, I can. He didn't want to give it. He didn't want to give that information. And also, I keep thinking that if it were Hillary Clinton, they'd be yelling, lock her up at the top of their voices. The problem here is who's going to lock anybody up? Right. The Justice Department is, that guy.
Sessions.
That one, yeah.
They're all in cahoots.
And that's right. And they fired Preet Bharara, who was capable of doing this kind of thing and had the guts to do it. All this business about he broke the law. So what if nobody is going to do anything about it? Now, we keep hearing that the FBI is looking into this and conducting investigations. And then we hear Comey. You remember him?
Yeah.
From Hillary Clinton. Comey spent an hour at the White House, presumably with the president.
And the FBI can't bring charges. They make a recommendation that goes, again, to Jeff Sessions in the Justice Department. So it is roundabout.
Who has recused himself from the Russia
from
stuff.
All Russian thing. But and that means he gets to pick who does it, which is probably his deputy, who is also answerable to him and thus to Trump.
And if he doesn't get to pick, then you know who does.
Oh, my gosh. And let's go back to the president. I think there's an argument that he's violating, the constitutional clause. Who will bring that case?
Well, the interesting thing is, does anybody sue the president
who has standing to sue?
Well,
we're in uncharted territory.
Yeah,
here.
but if it gets to the Supreme Court, and you get a guy like the present candidate, you wonder whether or not there's going to be an opportunity to declare yourself your own man. Nah.
Well, it's incredibly interesting because he is an originalist, as was Scalia, and this clause has never, ever been tested in all the years of our republic. It's never been tested because we never had a president who was so bold as to make... bold as to make the White House a marketing opportunity.
We're going to pause there. We will get to news and other stuff. We'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post make up the panel this morning, and we welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org.
Now, Joe, you may have heard a phone going off right as we got off.
Right as we got off.
That was a woman named Mette, who is Danish, who is calling, saying that she's heard about us in, all across the world and wants to come up here next Thursday to interview all of us in terms of what makes a great public radio station.
Oh, that would be nice.
So see
your stars.
Don't you see?
Yeah, so we should put it in our calendars then, right?
Yeah, maybe we should bring her in here. She's going. Who knows if the Amtrak will be late or not? I don't know. Yeah,
so you can talk about banking reform.
You could talk
reform.
To Trump about the Amtrak being late.
Okay.
I gotta have a swallow of my boost.
Well,
I could use a swallow of a boost, yeah.
Okay, take that picture out of your mind right now. Let's go to letters. Oh. We got letters.
Oh,
let's go to letters.
Here they are. Okay. If you owe the bank $10,000, you have a problem. If you owe the bank $10 million, the bank has a problem. Thanks as always, Chris. Dear panel, I agree that the people who voted for him like that the administration is rich because the voters see it as successful. The poor think the rich will help them get wealthier. It's upsetting that they live this lie. Brian, that's, by the way, the principle behind the lottery. What, did something happen? No.
Keep going.
Okay, something else. Okay. Anthony says, good morning, panel. We are a society based on commercials and commercialism. We are ripe for the picking. Any society who can be persuaded to purchase a rock can elect a president like Trump. And that's from Anthony. Eddie says, If you put a clown in office, you get a circus. True democracy will come with a multi-party system. Long live the Green Party.
All right.
Very helpful. Very helpful. Yeah. Jay Jordan says, this has less to do with college education, more so with public schools failing the public. Success starts from the ground up.
Okay.
This has to do with a 30-year war on education by the GOP. Let's be really honest about it.
And Brian writes on the subject I raised, Chris Murphy, who's my candidate, Ivy League educated Northeast liberal elite. It's like a recipe for making the rest of the country's voters roll their eyes, including Democrats. Al Franken, parenthesis Midwest, and John Hickenlooper, Mountain West, would be far more interesting and appealing leaders. And that's from Brian. Mary said, how can you blame someone for being poorly educated when their only crime was being born into a soul-crushing school district? And that's from Mary.
I don't blame them, but they are the problem.
Good point.
What's a soul-crushing school district?
Soul-crushing, a school district which doesn't have the necessary resources.
Oh,
and you know,
okay.
And so that people
okay,
are
okay, but that's that. It makes it sound like the school district is crushing people's souls. It's really about the priorities of educational funding that's crushing the souls.
Well, that sounds like liberal elite talk, too.
You think?
Yeah. George says, love you guys, but I'm sure hearing a lot of cultural condescension.
Yes, right. I admit to it. I am sick of this anti-intellectualism that we, like, sit back like girls who try to hide that they're smart so boys will like them better. We, the intellectual elite, sit back and don't pretend that we're as smart as we are so that we get liked better in the Middle West.
Well, you don't think that's what's happening?
I don't do that.
You don't think that's what's happening in the soul-crushing school districts, do you?
No. Possibly.
But no. I like the condensation better.
The condensation, intellectual
on the window.
Condensation. Yeah, on the window, okay. Right. It's all the hot air in the...
William says, panel, I'm deeply concerned that Rosemary's burning white hot and severely reduced her influence as a benevolent force in society. She's howling at blue-collar America with visceral anger. Eventually, someone will need to find a way to reach the reachable. Telling a firefighter, plumber, nurse that you are an elite in stentorian tones will not help the progressive cause. And yes, firefighters and nurses supported 45 in droves.
Okay, you show me how to reach them, because being sweet and open and reaching out to them, we have Donald Trump as president.
Get Joe Biden out there. He'll show you how to do it.
He's good.
He's great.
He's good.
Good morning, says Tim. I'm alarmed that a statement made by Dr. Chartok. Chartok is spelled with, come on. C-H-A-R-T-O.
There's How did he second, spell it?
There's a second C.
How did
Chartok.
T-O-C-K.
Tick
T-O-K.
And
no,
T-O-K.
Yeah,
T-O-K.
Tick and tock.
I thought maybe it was S-H-A-R.
Really ticks me off. Okay.
Really ticks me off.
You know what burns me? Okay.
Stay focused.
I'm burning white.
Focus.
A candle about yay high. Okay. I'm alarmed at a statement made by Dr. Chartok early in today's program. He said more or less there are less terrorist acts in Russia because the Russians are able to act heavy-handedly without being investigated. The degree of naivete in this statement alarms me. Was nothing remembered about Bradley Manning's revelations or more timely? Are we American public being aptly informed about our military escalations in Syria, et cetera? And that's from Tim in Poughkeepsie. That's a good point.
And someone else wrote in, and took us to task, and she was absolutely right about the fact that we're talking about all of this in purely political terms,
right.
And the fact is that people got killed,
right.
And families are going to hurt, and we do need to recognize that there's a world of hurt now in St. Petersburg, and those families, whoever they are, need our sympathy.
That's really a good point. Yeah it is true.
So sorry,
we totally forgot the humanity of it.
On the other hand, you can analyze this stuff on a number of different levels.
You can, absolutely.
And the level that I was thinking about was not what was going to happen in Russia, but what the Russians were going to do in some of these countries where ISIS is in control. They won't. And what I said, if you all remember, but apparently people hear what they want, Libby's making a face at me, is that when Putin decides he's going to, really play the strong man, he's going to go in and he's going to bomb people no matter where they are.
It's absolutely true.
And there will be major casualties, which the United States would not want to have on its conscience.
They're going to flatten. And people, and if they use conventional warfare, people will suffer. If they use nuclear weapons, the whole world will suffer. It's not pretty one way or the other. It's whatever
Hi,
the
Joe.
Options are.
All right, welcome back. let's go to another issue. let's go to another issue making news, and we will talk about Gorsuch and what's going on now. So the Republicans say that they do not believe they'll have the 60 votes. Another Democrat came forward yesterday.
Three Democrats.
So the question is, what will happen, and what will, by the end of this week, will we have a confirmed Supreme Court justice?
Well, Mitch McConnell says absolutely, one way or the other, as he puts it. I think that the nuclear rule is going to be invoked, and it will now take only 50 votes to put in a Betsy DeVos and a Supreme Court justice equally.
Is that the same Mitch McConnell who said his only job was to make sure that
he did something worse. He did not prevent Obama from having a second term, but he is going to affect policy and our democracy for decades to come.
Scares the hell out of me.
And that is really, really frightening. Today is the day, or whenever they invoke the rule, this is the week that things change. The Senate used to act as a special check because it took 60 votes, and that forced you, the two parties, to sit down and negotiate.
And now remember, this is a lifetime appointment. For a guy who is how old? 40-something?
Yeah, we've got 50 years,
and all those middle-class, white, educated white women who voted for Trump, they'll feel it when Gorsuch comes on and Roe v. Wade is overturned and our rights to privacy are overturned. And so they'll start to recognize, oops, made a mistake. However, it's going to be too late.
Yeah. I'm not sure you're right.
I don't think so. I think that there is a human compulsion to say, okay, I made a decision. It was a good decision. And you look for justification.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
And I can't be wrong.
I think that this week they're going to say, look, we have a really good man on the Supreme Court. If we didn't have Trump in there, we wouldn't have gotten that.
And don't you think it's also that some of the people you're referring to, Libby, upper class, white women who are graduates of college, will find an airplane to put their kid on to New York City, which will always have abortion?
Oh, well, yes. I do think that that's absolutely the case.
I hate that abortion is deciding all this. There is a
well,
there
that's more than
fewer
just abortion.
Yeah, it is. That's the thing. There are fewer abortions in this country now than at any time since the 70s, and a lot of that has to do with contraception. It has to do with education on sex education, and all of that is really what's endangered right now too. Not just Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, but so when we're done with Roe v. Wade and abortion, do you think contraception might come next?
Yes.
Oh, it already is.
Yeah, it already is.
Well, you can have it on insurance.
Right. The folks from Hobby Lobby challenged the ACA over that particular thing. So, yeah, I do think contraception. This is a group of people that would like women to be barefoot and pregnant. I mean, it's just that simple.
I think it's even bigger than that. I think it's the power the Supreme Court has increasingly, and under Gorsuch, that will definitely not change, given First Amendment rights to companies. Citizens United in 2010
Absolutely.
Gave right of expression. You spend money, that's expression. And Holly Lobby gave freedom of religion to companies.
Right, and freedom of religion to discriminate against people. That's not what freedom of religion is.
Correct.
And so it's about you being able to practice what you want, me being able to practice what I want, and not necessarily discriminate against people. And it's a scary scenario of what could come down the pike.
And we're hearing horrible reaction from Trump supporters saying, well, you know, look, Meals on Wheels was threatened. It is in Trump's budget, which is yet to be acted on. So now in my area, it's raised more money than it ever has before.
Yeah.
So is Planned Parenthood. So have newspaper subscriptions. But that is not the point.
No, it's not.
That's not sustained and protected funding. It's throwing back all of the efforts of government that we've come to rely on for 50 years now. We're losing all those.
Is that really
protecting working class or elites?
It's going back to the 1,000 points of light, you know, which is what George
W. Bush.
No, the senior did. He did 1,000 points of light.
Okay.
You know, where faith-based initiatives and the community coming together to take care of people, where it's really the government's job to take care of people who don't have. and Meals on Wheels, you know, you see all this stuff, all these memes, you know, the amount of money that we've spent on Trump going to Mar-a-Lago every weekend mm-hmm. would fund Meals on Wheels.
For many years.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's
and
see what
arts.
Our priorities are.
Yeah,
right.
All the things
right.
that... Well, it wasn't it Churchill who said, yeah, you can right. defund all this stuff, but then why
what
do
you
we have a war? Why
what
do
are
we
have fighting
the army
for?
Yeah,
what are we fighting for?
Right. So, okay, we're done.
Okay. Bill O'Reilly, go.
Oh, my God, what a pig.
I'm going to write a letter to the New York Times on Bill O'Reilly. It pays to be a pig.
Really, he's such a smug and arrogant man, and he's so popular. Oh my God, stop it!
Well, he's popular
among a group of people. He's not
popular here. On the other hand,
he's repugnant.
Yes, he is. And I, on the other hand, have always felt that viscerally. I remember that Maurice Hinchey, the great congressman, once decided he was going to tell him off, and he was going to go on. He was going to go on O'Reilly's show, and he was going to. Tell him off. Well, he didn't get to open his mouth. As soon as he began to make a point, O'Reilly started yelling at him. Never give the sucker, an even break. However, their problem is that he is the leader. He is the one they consider at Murdoch Land irreplaceable. Sorry, John.
Well, no, I was just going to say, if you're not following the story, the New York Times reported on Saturday that about $13 million has been dished out over the years by O'Reilly and his employer, Fox News, to resolve complaints from women regarding O'Reilly's sexual harassment and sexual abuse.
I mean, gross.
But what's interesting about is Roger Ailes, who really is a repugnant person.
Yes.
He got $40 million as his retirement settlement, and the kids, the young Murdochs, knew to get rid of him. But they can't, in their own mind, get rid of O'Reilly because he's the mainstay
of the station.
He's the way that it goes. Yeah.
Can you imagine being a woman working at Fox? You have Ailes and O'Reilly there, and total impunity.
Anymore,
yeah, not anymore, of course, but for a long time, the two of those were there, and... complete impunity to do that. And apparently they both had the same modus operandi, which was, come in, little girl, I'll help your career.
Yeah,
you don't want to do that with me? Okay, you're squashed. Holy cow.
Well, it'll be interesting when Megyn Kelly starts her show to see what she talks about.
Well, I still am a little angry at Megyn Kelly. I am a fan, but why didn't she speak out earlier? I have respect for, what's her name, Gretchen?
Carlson,
who blew the whistle.
You know, a lot of them say in their own defense, you're not there, you don't know what it was like, we were scared of him.
It's hard.
No, most of us do know what it's like, Alan. Most of us have been in situations maybe not quite that high profile or high pressure, but we know what it's like.
Yeah.
And
it's a very difficult situation to be in.
Because you don't want to lose your job, you don't want to lose your reputation, and they can hurt you.
Right, people have power over you. It's
insidious.
It's not easy.
We don't approve. Do you have the impression we don't approve?
I don't know why you would.
I really find the guy to be repugnant.
What does his mother think?
Well,
she's
you know...
What would she think if she were not dead?
That's my boy.
Oof.
Bill.
You still remember the great fight between Al Franken and Bill O'Reilly that they had? See, that should happen again.
Yeah. Mm. It's time. But do you think he'll do it again now? I mean, he's just like, why does Cosby get so, people are revolted by Cosby? O'Reilly did the same thing.
Bill Cosby is black.
More prejudice.
Bill O'Reilly, yes.
Even in Who's the Worst Sex Offender.
Yes, Jeez.
So Greg writes us, and he says, hi, panel. I'm watching your live stream, as I always do. My wife and I were talking about how fascinating it is watching how Rosemary and Libby access info on their devices on the fly, and everyone on the panel makes the show flow so effortlessly. My wife and I are retired teachers, and I realize two things. One is that we love watching intelligent people using their intellects, and two, that Trump supporters would probably watch the same panel discussion and see you folks as over-intelligent, smarty-pants, know-it-alls. There is no changing attitudes rooted in self-loathing. Great to see Alan. Hey, Alan, A-L-A-N, not A-L-L-A-N.
They said it was great to see you. So.
Yeah, just, you know.
Yeah, this is a great letter. I'm
using for dinner.
Bumper stickers on the back of my car for the first time ever. My ex-husband never allowed them. So now in defiance, and I'm like giving vent to all my political spleen.
Wait.
I want one that says, Proud Smarty Pants.
Wait.
Your
ex-husband never allowed
them? I know,
them?
There yeah, is that.
Could I yeah, say that about Roselle? She, you know, that I would never allow it?
Yeah, I actually obeyed that for years. Even I've been divorced for like 10 years, and I still never put a bumper sticker on.
You need to get a grip. I used to do this thing where I used to have a lot of bumper stickers on the car, and people would, you know, at a stop sign, I'd watch... And it would be a literacy lesson. They'd be reading the bumper stickers. It was great.
Our board member, Judy Grunberg, is famous for the number of bumper stickers she has on back of her car.
Oh, now I want to compete with Judy. I have to look at her car. No. But I've been talking about this on Facebook, and people say, you know, you can in this day and age. You know, people will ram your car. Some old man spit on a woman who had a Hillary.
I know.
I had a stop rape. Sisters Pick Up Sisters bumper sticker, and I was parked at BJ's, and I came out, and someone had taken spray paint.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. An awful lot of...
Yeah.
But, you know, what's the use of having freedom of expression if you're afraid to use it?
Right. But if you pay for it, you know, and you're Citizens United, you can do whatever you want.
Wow.
Not only that, I don't know if you guys have been watching television lately, but there are Gorsuch ads on every 2 seconds.
Every 5
That's
minutes,
right.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
all right, we're out of time.
We are.
Oh
we're
my
out
God.
Of time. I know it did fly by, didn't it?
Oh my God.
We're having fun.
Aspirin.
Okay, we're gonna get some letters saying stop having fun.
Yeah, well tough.
Thank you very much. Yeah, not fun. Okay. Thank you very much to Alan and to Rosemary and to Libby, and we will continue our conversation after this.